Well, my journey started in February 2008. I found a lump under the left side of my neck, which was just a really soft, small lump, and I didn't think anything of it. Anyway, I went to my GP. 4 weeks later, I finally had a diagnosis, and from there, it was just one big roller coaster ride.
Mother's Day in 2004, I woke up with a swelling in my neck, and I thought it was just because I'd been to a party the night before, and I might have just had a sore neck, really, more than anything else. But it wasn't until on Monday when I went to work and tried to put a tie on that I realised that it really was a bad swelling, because my collar wouldn't do up.
Judy Lowry and Marty Doyle are survivors of head and neck cancer. Head and neck cancer refers to malignant tumours growing in the tissue or lymph nodes of the head and neck region of the body. This can mean the oral cavity, tongue, palate, jaw, salivary glands, throat or nose. Head and neck cancer is not the most common cancer in Australia, and it certainly doesn't have the biggest public profile. But about 4,000 Australians are diagnosed with a form of it each year.
I had three biopsies in total. Then came the neck dissection, where they removed 45 lymph nodes as it had spread from the primary, was at the base of my tongue. And then the secondary was in the lymph nodes.
I got 35 days of radiation and 3-4 weeks of chemotherapy. Lost 25 kilos in 6 weeks. Couldn't walk from the car to the front of the house when I got home from hospital.
Head and neck cancer is more common in men, and major risk factors include smoking and alcohol consumption. It's also linked to human papillomavirus, or HPV, which is sexually transmitted. Survival rates are improving and new medical treatments are making things better for patients. But treatment can be prolonged and it can have a profound effect on a survivor's quality of life.
There is always reminders there of your treatment and what you've been through. Eating, I manage to eat most things by washing it down with fluids, which is probably not ideal. As far as the pain and everything, you just learn to manage it.
One of the things is I'm really grateful for is that they didn't have to use a thigh muscle to replace the side of my face, or they didn't have to take out my tongue or anything like that. It's not getting back to normal, it's getting used to a new normal, because you will have side effects from the radiation. You will have problems with the muscles atrophying, so getting very stiff. 9 times out of 10, you'll lose some saliva, which means that you'll have a dry mouth most of the time, and you'll have to look after your teeth. It's really important, because without the saliva, there's nothing to protect your teeth from decay. And some people have lost all their teeth because they haven't had good oral hygiene.
Following his diagnosis in 2004, Marty Doyle reached out to the Cancer Council looking for a support group. There wasn't any, so he started his own. And this year, Mr. Doyle teamed up with freelance journalist, former ABC broadcaster and fellow survivor Julie McCrossin to produce a head and neck cancer patient book. It's the largest collection of patient stories of diagnosis, treatment and survival from head and neck cancers ever published in Australia. Julie McCrossin was diagnosed in 2013 with cancer in her throat caused by HPV. 80% of the population have the sexually transmitted infection at some point in their life, but the body's immune system simply fights it off. But for people like Ms. McCrossin, it can cause cancer in the cervix, penis, anus, and the head and neck region. An HPV vaccine was introduced in schools nationally in 2007 for girls and included boys from 2013. Julie McCrossin says raising awareness about head and neck cancer is important for encouraging more investment in research and support.
I can say from direct experience, I have a very educated cohort of friends, many of whom are in the media, and almost none of them had heard of head and neck cancer, and they certainly hadn't heard of HPV-related head and neck cancer, and it had never occurred to them that there was another way to get throat cancer. In other words, not alcohol, not tobacco, but HPV. So it's like Australia just hasn't turned its mind to head and neck cancer.
Why do you think that it gets less attention than other cancers?
I think people are embarrassed by the sexually transmitted nature of it. I think also head and neck cancer in the past has been predominantly an experience for men who have been heavy drinkers and heavy smokers. there was quite a high death rate and quite a high rate of people who survived, but either because of surgery or surgery and radiation and chemo, had limited capacity to speak or no capacity to speak. So this is really a cancer that's predominantly had a voiceless cohort.
As part of treatment for her cancer, Julie McCrossan had to wear an immobilisation mask to protect her healthy cells, especially the brain and spine, during radiotherapy. It's a specially moulded plastic mask that pins the patient down onto the bed. Ms. McCrossan found the experience claustrophobic, and she's advocating for more information and offers of assistance for patients before the use of the mask.
So what I ended up doing after four sessions, when I realised I was having kind of panic attacks, was I got 2.5 milligrams of Valium an hour before the treatment. I took four songs in on a CD that were the exact duration of my treatment, and I could listen to them and know how long my treatment was going to take. So you can get help to manage it, but at the moment it's not universally offered ahead of treatment, and that's one of the things that I'm advocating for and I talk about in my story in the book.
Radiation therapy and surgery can interfere with salivary glands, meaning patients can lose saliva altogether or have reduced saliva production, leaving their teeth vulnerable to decay. Julie McCrossan says there should be financial assistance for survivors to help with dental hygiene costs.
So in the old days, only 10, 15 years ago, you used to have all your teeth taken out before treatment. Now it's much better than that. Radiation has improved. It's much more targeted. So I didn't have to have any extractions, but I will have to have three monthly trips to the dentist for the rest of my life. I have to pay particular attention, and that's very expensive. So one big problem for head and neck cancer patients is that the mouth isn't in Medicare, which I think is a tragedy. And many lower socioeconomic people cannot afford enough dentistry, and I think our federal government needs to make special provision for them, and state governments as well.
The Head and Neck Cancer Patient Book offers advice for sufferers and their loved ones. It's a collection of stories from people who have gone through treatment and tips from doctors. The book is full of optimism and support. Despite the hardships, contributors are grateful for what they have.
Life's great. You know, the glass is always half full. There's always a lot worse off than you know, myself. And that's the way I like to live my life.
Judy Lowry, head and neck cancer survivor.